Good evening, everybody. So, I am going to do something tonight. I want to echo what Lee did Sunday night. I'm going to do something tonight that I normally don't do, and that is to be in multiple places where you're going to have to jump around. But it is important for us tonight to see some different attributes of the Holy Spirit and our relation with Him tonight, which my title of my message tonight is The Holy Spirit in Our Daily Lives. And if I could, I will start by reading that first text that I have. It's Acts chapter 5, verses 3 through 4. If you can, stand and honor the reading of God's Word. I'd like to jump back to verse 1 for just a moment, and I'll read here. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought it a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? And while it remained, was it not your own? And after it sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have lied to men, not to men, but to God." If you could join me in prayer, Lord, I ask that you use these words, Lord, to help us walk closer to you. Lord, I ask that your Spirit abide among us tonight as we learn from your Scripture. In your holy name we pray, amen. So I have asked our media team to put up an image. We got that? So, has everybody been there before, driving down a road with a GPS? I know Miss Kathy has. She went all over this face of this nation, following that GPS. And so, imagine for just a minute that you're on that road trip with Miss Kathy, and she's driving you down the road, and that GPS is giving you clear directions. But Miss Kathy's going to ignore them. She's not going to listen to those directions. So at first, what does that GPS say? Turn around. Turn around. Right? Yes. And then you're going to go off on this little back road that you did not want to go off on, and you have to come around, right? But at first, it's going to reroute you to get back on track. But if you keep ignoring that GPS, if you keep ignoring the instructions that you're receiving, you're going to end up lost. You're going to end up frustrated. And most importantly, you're going to end up far from where you want to be. The Holy Spirit is much like that GPS in our life. He speaks, He guides, He warns. But when we lie to Him, we resist Him, we grieve Him, we blaspheme Him, we quench Him, we lose our way spiritually. Sometimes we as Christians, we struggle to recognize how we interact with the Holy Spirit on the day-to-day. I think we've done an excellent job over the last few weeks explaining to you that the Holy Spirit is as real as God the Father. He is as real as Jesus Himself. And we have A person of the Godhead living inside of us. Can we get excited about that? Thank you. Thank you. We have a person of the Godhead living inside of us. So I want to examine today some personal interactions and how we should respond. The Holy Spirit is like having a close friend that walks with us, gives us guidance, gives us encouragement, and gives us those warnings like that their GPS will try to warn when you're going down a curvy, windy road. But sometimes we can ignore those friends. Sometimes we can dismiss them. And sometimes we can even insult them. That's how sometimes we can treat the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what's happened here in our first text that we're going to look. So I've just read it, so it's fresh on your mind. But I'm going to specifically verse 3 here. It says, "But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself?'" So Ananias and Sapphira lied about their giving, thinking that they were deceiving the apostles. But they were lying to God Himself. The Holy Spirit, my first point tonight is that the Holy Spirit, being fully God, knows all truth. He knows everything. We lie to the Holy Spirit when we're dishonest with God about our motives, when we're dishonest to God about our actions. And with our intentions. He convicts us of sin, and when we ignore Him, we also deceive ourselves. So my first discussion question, I'm going to kind of move a little bit faster tonight to give everybody a chance to talk and to share. But in what ways do you think people today lie to the Holy Spirit? In what ways do people today try to lie to the Holy Spirit? Let's identify some of those ways. Or maybe sometimes that maybe you have in the past lied to the Holy Spirit. Anybody?
I'll do it later.
Putting off what you know to be right to do. That's a very good one. Was that Brenda up there?
Nope, it was
me. Okay. Thank you, Miss Brenda. So when somebody comes to you and asks you for a specific prayer and you say, "I'll pray for that," and then you don't actually follow through with it, I can see that for sure. And sometimes we as Christians can even get into the place to where, you know, "I'll pray for you." Or what's really common in Facebook world is thoughts and prayers, right? Thoughts and prayers, but not any action behind that. Very good. What are in some ways people today can lie to the Holy Spirit? Anyone? What's that? Say it one more time.
Sorry, a lost person stating they're all right.
A lost person stating they're all right. Absolutely.
Joey, at one point, any lie we tell is a lie to the Holy Spirit.
Exactly, because again, we're back to this is essentially the same. It's they're all three, one, right? So when we lie, we were essentially lying to the face of Jesus, because the Holy Spirit is as real. That's what the point we've been trying to make for a few weeks now is: the Holy Spirit is as real as God the Father, as God the Son, and He is among us, abiding with us now. So this sounds like a no-brainer, but when I wrote the question, I thought, well, this maybe not be so much of a no-brainer, and that's why I said the word practice here. How can we practice honesty before God in our daily life? How can we practice honesty before God in our daily lives? Practice what you preach. What else? Yes?
Be intentional.
Intentional. Anyone else? Y'all got good answers tonight. Keep it coming.
Asking God to help
us. Asking God to help us. I don't know if this is for you guys the same, I'm sure it is, but I find that the more time I spend in God's Word, the more time that I spend studying and meditating with Him, the more I want to be like Him. And it's like a measuring stick for me that I'm trying to, it raises the bar on my walk. Does that make sense? So spending more time in God's Word is always, for me, helpful as I'm trying to look and act more like Him and not insult or grieve or lie to the Holy Spirit. Let's jump now to Acts chapter 7. And we're going to verse 51. Verse 51 says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you." So, it's been a few weeks, but we were in this passage not too long ago. So we can remember that Stephen being filled with the Spirit. Y'all remember that? The Spirit was upon him. He rebuked those Jewish leaders for rejecting God's truth in Christ Jesus. And resisting the Spirit means rejecting His conviction and His guidance. So let's keep in mind that the Holy Spirit can be lied to, and then the Holy Spirit can also be resisted or rejected. Anson's getting ready to learn how to walk. I'm preparing my heart for this. He's starting to do all the things. He's starting to do the whole sitting up, doing the wobble, weeble, wobble. And it won't be long, I know, that he will be taking a first step. He's going to learn to crawl first. But when Anson starts that journey of walking, he can do one or two things. He can try it completely on his own. And when he does, he's going to fail miserably. He's going to face plant right on the hardwood floor every single time. We know this. Or he can allow dad or mom to guide him and to hold his hand The Holy Spirit's guidance is a lot like that when we reject it. We can choose to walk with the Holy Spirit, or we can reject Him and we can stumble. Stephen highlighted here the over and over and over Israel rejecting God's plan. So we can find ourselves in that place where we can reject the Holy Spirit. So one way that we reject the Holy Spirit is we refuse to obey His leading. We refuse to follow what He has clearly laid out, or the path that He is clearly saying we need to take. If He convicts us to make something right with someone, but we refuse to do so, we are actually resisting the Holy Spirit. We're hurting ourselves, part of that relationship. We're hurting that one that we need to make something right with. And we're also hurting the Holy Spirit Himself by resisting the Holy Spirit. My first discussion question on this point is, what are some common ways, sorry Frankie, what are some common ways that people resist the Holy Spirit today? Miss Susan says, Spirit tells you to witness someone and then you don't do it. What are some other common ways we resist the Holy Spirit today? That's interesting. You said we don't recognize the Holy Spirit, so we doubt that it's actually Him leading us. That ability to recognize comes from spending time in God's Word. Maybe we're disconnected from God's Word, so we don't know what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do because we don't know what the Holy Spirit's attributes are, right? So very good. Interesting response. Teed that one up. Anyone else? What are some common ways people resist the Holy Spirit today?
You're resisting what God says in His Word.
Exactly. So that first part, Randy said, anytime you know to do right and you do not do it, you are resisting the work of the Holy Spirit. Very true. Yes, Kathy?
I think when you do not set aside time to study God's Word, to pray, if you don't dedicate time, you are in effect resisting the Holy Spirit. And people do that because they know when they read God's Word that He's going to speak to them and tell them to do something that they don't want to do.
Yes. Because oftentimes, what God is calling us to do is completely opposite to what the flesh desires. Right? Always takes us out of our comfort zone. Yes. I'll tell you guys, I'm out of my comfort zone right now standing up here. I am much more happy with musicians. So I understand you go where God leads, right?
Just not listening to the Holy Spirit.
Just not listening. Just ignoring. Out ignoring. That's one way we resist, absolutely. What are some ways that we can learn to surrender to His leading more consistently? How can we learn to surrender to His leading more consistently? What's that? Give up our own will and our own wants. Excellent. You sound like you got these questions ahead of time. How can we learn to surrender to these to his leading more consistently? What's that? Set aside pride. I think one thing we can do is we've been talking about humility and love and our action of love. Tapping in to 2 Corinthians, like we talked last week, and acting out those attributes of love in our relationships one to another, will go a whole long way into surrendering to Him.
I think the more that you surrender, the more you want to surrender, because it feels good when you do. You get blessed when you do that.
Yeah. Always put Him first. Learn that there's consequences when sometimes we do not put Him first.
You just read.
Yes. To recap, the Holy Spirit can be lied to. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. And the Holy Spirit can also be grieved. Let's move to another scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. If you have trouble finding Ephesians, just remember General Electric Power Company. And you'll get it. Ephesians always likes to slide in my Bible here. I think they move it every time I go to look for it. Chapter 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. I have had family members that have passed away in my life. But this past November was, and I'm sure everybody's had this one experience when it's really, really and truly your first experience with grief. Sometimes the wave of grief will come over you in the most unexpected times. And you're like, where did that come from? You think you're doing well, and then all of a sudden, something will, a memory will come along, a smell will come along. I had one of those moments today, actually. My dad, much to my upsetness, mom and dad have inherited my grandmother's car. And so whenever I go to mom and dad's, I know she's gone. I know that. But I see that car there, and immediately I'm like, well, mama's here. You know, it's just one of those things. So dad actually came over, and we had an electrical issue today, and he drove mama's car over here. Well, that kind of set me off right there. But I walked up to what was worse, as I walked up to the car, and dad said, just throw Anson in here and I'll drive you back over to the church. I opened that car up and I smelled her. Grief often means great sorrow. Great sorrow. So when we say that the Holy Spirit can be grieved, it's an immense weight of a feeling. And when I was going over the scripture and I saw this and I had experienced that moment of grief today, it broke my heart at the times that I feel like I may have grieved the Holy Spirit because I felt the weight of that. Sinful attitudes, sinful actions, bitterness, wrath, anger, slander. They don't just upset the Holy Spirit. They bring grief and sorrow to the Holy Spirit. When we engage in sin, when we don't lose our salvation, but we do wound our fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Y'all follow me here. We mess with our fellowship with Him. We have to keep a repentant heart that will restore that closeness. So my next discussion question is this: What specific actions? What are some specific things that you know that grieve the Holy Spirit? What are some specific actions that grieve the Holy Spirit?
As we are parents, our children do something that we know is wrong, and it hurts us. And so, since we are children of God, and we do something we know is wrong, and it grieves Him, it makes Him sad.
Yes. And and think about losing a loved one. It's that strong of a grief that we put upon the Holy Spirit, who is just like Jesus in that chair. He's sitting or standing, and better yet, He's inside of you. And we are grieving Him when we do these things. Anyone else? Yes.
Husband and wife are married, and one strays, they call that having an affair.
Right.
If we do something where that's against the Holy Spirit, it's almost like we're wounding Him in that way of going astray, having another partner.
Right.
Instead of Him.
Absolutely. Anyone else? What are some specific actions that grieve the Holy Spirit? Yes, sir.
Sometimes when the choir is singing and a certain song touches my heart, and I know to respond, but I don't. I'm holding that back from the Holy Spirit, from the working. We need to praise more.
When we don't praise. Anyone else? Specific actions that grieve the Holy Spirit? And we're going to move on. Anybody else? Yes, Miss Charlotte.
He says, God is grieved when His children refuse to change the old ways of sin for those righteous ways of the new life.
Absolutely. for time, I'm going to have to move. Let's get to our next question. How can we maintain a lifestyle that pleases the Holy? If we talk about how we grieve, how can we live a lifestyle that pleases Him? Being in His Word, living out His Word, reflecting Him in our relationships one to another, being what God has called us completely to be. Absolutely. My next point is
pray without ceasing.
Very good. My next point is that the Holy Spirit can also be blasphemed. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 31. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men. But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. The Pharisees here had accused Jesus of casting out demons by Satan's power. That always kind of... I thought that kind of weird and had their logic. I didn't ever understand how they felt like he'd cast out demons. Wouldn't Satan want those demons to stay in them? But that's neither here nor there. I'm sure these folks were, these Pharisees were trying to paint Jesus in an awful light. But the Pharisees had accused them of casting out demons by Satan's power here. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the hardened, continual rejection of His work. Those who continually... this is probably one of the biggest questions as a minister that I've gotten. Somebody will come to me and say, have I blasphemed the Holy Spirit? Have I committed the unpardonable sin? And so I always go to this. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you trust in Him? Do you trust in Him fully? Do you believe in Him? And the answer is yes. Then you have not blasphemed the Holy Spirit, because you have accepted the Holy Spirit's work in your life. Those that continually reject the Spirit's conviction puts themselves in danger of eternal danger. The unpardonable sin is a heart hardened beyond repentance. Think Pharaoh in the depiction there in Exodus, where Moses had went time and time again, and his heart was hardened over and over and over and over again. So why do you all think that blaspheming the Holy Spirit is so unforgivable?
Don't come to point of time. Continually do that, what I understand. That God will quit dealing with you. He's writes you off right there. Now, I don't know what that, nobody knows what that point is, but quit, and that's when you cross the line.
So your heart becomes hardened to the point to where you will not respond to the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Pharisees, I think, were that they were. That was the connotation of the Spirit. Jesus said, "You may reject the Son of Man, you may reject my work, but the Spirit, you're not going to be able to reject His." Anyone else on why blaspheming the Holy Spirit is the unforgivable sin? I'll try to move on, because I am running out of time. How can we ensure our hearts remain open to His conviction? How can we ensure our hearts remain open to His conviction? One way is praying without ceasing. Doing what you guys are doing here tonight, coming here, studying His Word, fellowshipping one with another, coming alongside, supporting each other, being the hands and feet of Jesus in ministry. Those are things we can do to make sure that we remain open to our conviction. And we need to listen. Listen to Him. Listen to His guidance. Be ever mindful of the opportunities that He has to be working in and through you. And finally, my final point is this. The Holy Spirit can be quenched. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, real quick. Y'all can put that up on the screen for me. It's real short. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not. That's pretty self-explanatory right there, right? Do not quench the Spirit. So what does quench mean? Quench means to extinguish. To put out a fire. To shut it down. When we ignore or we suppress the Spirit's work, we limit God's power in our lives. We limit the potential we have to be effective. A campfire needs air to keep burning. If you throw a blanket over it, the fire dies out. The Spirit's fire is quenched when we refuse to obey. When we refuse to not heed God's word, that is when the Spirit is quenched. We quench the Spirit by neglecting prayer. We quench the Spirit by neglecting that Bible study that we've been talking about. We neglect and quench the Spirit when we neglect to worship. We must fan the flame by responding to His leading. So, in closing tonight, the Holy Spirit is actively working. He can be lied to. He can be resisted. He can be grieved. He can be blasphemed. And He can be quenched. But He longs to guide. He longs to comfort. He longs to empower us. My question to you tonight as the musicians come, are you sensitive to the Spirit's leading? Or have you been resisting? Have you been grieving? Have you been quenching Him? Tonight, can we commit to walk closer with Him? Can we commit to spending more time with Him every day? Can we commit to living more and more like Jesus? And can we commit to letting and lending ourselves to the working of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives? You will stand with me. Lord God, I ask that You help us be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's presence. Lord, I ask that You help us lean into Your guidance. Lord, as we have interactions one with another, whether that's here at church or, Lord, at our homes, Lord, may we lean into Your Holy Spirit to so that we can be an agent of blessing to those around us, that we can be an agent of truth to those around us, that we can be an agent of love. And Lord, may we ever strive to listen to You, and to follow your leading. In your holy name we pray. Amen. This altar is open for anyone that may need to come. Just as... I'm sorry. We'll try that again.
There's a fountain.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all. And hearts clear. Now, we do have a short deacons meeting here in the prayer room, and if all are yes.
I don't want to take up if I was a preacher, I would preach a message. Who are you listening to? There's two spirits. There's the Spirit of God. When we do something, we're obeying one of those. And I'm not going to be able to say all I want to say because my mind's not what you do. But I was reading one day and I ran across this verse and it stuck with me. It's John 6:63. I'm just going to tell you part of this. I don't remember all of it. It says, these words that I speak unto
Thank you, Randy. Very good. Anyone else? If not, God bless you. Lord, I ask that you bless these people as we leave. Lord, please keep us safe. Bring us back next appointed time. In your holy name we pray. Amen.